I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center at Hobart and William Smith, and this is our Hobart Football Podcast for Game 7, Hobart at Union, Frank Bailey Stadium, Schenectady, Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock. We're joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So you got a last-minute touchdown to beat St. Lawrence 17-13. Let's start with kind of the glass-half-empty side. The offense the last couple of weeks, you've had decent yardage. You had 360 in that game, but can't seem to punch it in the end zone. So what's happening?
Yeah, productivity has been there. But again, I thought in that game, some of the plays early in the game when we should have extended the lead resulted in a couple plays where we end up putting ourselves in situations where we couldn't score the points. Missed the long field goal, had some opportunities going in. A couple penalties kept us out of being first and goal there in the second quarter, and ultimately a lead that was 10-0 should have been extended earlier. No offense to St. Lawrence, we thought we could have maybe extended that lead and given more of a cushion for our defense, and to their credit, they came back, and we didn't have a very good third quarter offensively, and the productivity there kind of switched the momentum, and they came up with some plays, and I think that was the swinging point in the momentum of the game where maybe if we had gotten up another score or two, maybe they have to change some of the play calling on their end. It's just how it all works together. But again, we know we got to play 60 minutes, and that's been our challenge the last 2 weeks. We did not play a full 60-minute game, and it's eluded us so far in the season, and that's going to be the challenge moving forward is can we play three phases for 60 minutes.
In the second half, it was either your first three or four possessions all started with a first down penalty, and penalties in general have been a problem. What are you going to do to address that?
I'd love to say, I know it's what can we do? Part of it is, it was holds by the offensive line, and we're telling them, we're teaching the technique, we've evaluated our personnel, we're playing our best guys that we can. That's the disappointing part. It felt like as a play caller, all of a sudden it's first and 20, it's second and long, and in situations that you don't like to be in we knew going in St. Lawrence had a very good defense, and their front was able to really match up pretty well in the run game other than the early first drive or two. And we've talked about it. I think in that game especially, there was a penalty on the defense, extended them a first down. There's penalties, and we have positive plays that sets us out of the score zone. We have to clean it up. We've talked about it. We've addressed it to the point where now it comes down to either we're doing it or we're not, execution. So, definitely know that it's being addressed from the coaching side of it. We've explained it. We always want to continue to play tough. We don't want our guys, are playing aggressive. We don't want our guys playing on their heels. But we have to be smarter in terms of the execution in some of those situations.
The defense stepped up big again, starting in the very first possession. You turn it over in your first possession. They get a plus drive start. You shut them down. They made big plays, and they keep giving that offense a chance, even when they're not at their best, to get in and make a play that they need to, and then they made the play. It made several of them on that last drive.
Yeah, and I think that's what we look at, and that's the challenge we said to our defense. If our offense, we've done, if you look at it, we've done a pretty good job over the year not turning the ball over. So when we do, it's rare for us, but at the same time, that first one was one that kind of gave them the ball right around the midfield line, and our defense knows they can come in and be aggressive. And I think moving forward, we said that in some of the games where we know in tight games we're going to have to potentially take some opportunities that could put them in some situations of short fields. But I think it's the confidence we have in that group and vice versa. I think, when they took the lead, the defense then had to rely on the offense. I think if you're going to be a really good team, it's not any one side carrying the other. And I think at times, the offense looked good this year. At times, the defense has obviously done really, really well also. I think that's the part when you look at past teams that were really clicking, they trusted one another that, all right, maybe I didn't make that play, but the next side of the ball, they're going to step up for us. And really, really great teams over the years that I've coached or been a part of, that was a special feeling when all right, offense, okay, we got you. We're going to step up right now. Or special teams, okay, we got you right now. And we haven't done that completely. We've done it at times this year. And I think that's the part that was really good to see us come back when we hadn't done really a lot, a couple possessions, and then offense goes down and scores. And, really a huge part of that was then the special team plays right after that. Like, we were able to pin them back and made them go 90 yards. And that allowed our defense maybe to give up a couple plays, underneath that gave them some yards versus if you're up closer to midfield, that might be, a different outcome in terms of, giving them a shot at the end zone. So No doubt that I think the defense has been, you know, our strength, and we said that since day one, and I think that will continue to be the strength. I don't think that's all of a sudden going to switch here later in the season. But without a doubt, all three phases need to marry together if we're going to finish this season off and advance in the postseason.
I thought it was a great game plan by your co-defensive coordinators. You brought a lot of blitzes, particularly run blitzes, that were perfectly timed and really were effective.
Yeah, they, you know, credit, I thought that St. Lawrence's offensive staff did a really good job and made some adjustments in that second half that gave them a couple possessions that ultimately led to points against our defense. And vice versa. I thought our defensive coaches, the entire defensive staff, along with the players, you know, did some really good things. And it's interesting week to week what shows and what doesn't. There's certain things that, like, maybe didn't happen or didn't show maybe on video or to the naked eye against RPI that now showed against St. Lawrence and vice versa. So, you know, our defense does a lot of that movement, does a lot of pressure. I think it's in our DNA of who we're going to be. And I think it also comes back to it matches our personnel pretty well. So week to week, we'll do some different adjustments. But I know that Coach Green and Coach Flashacker and the defensive staff are doing their best to, you know, put our guys in the most opportune situations, and now letting our players go play.
Rayshon Boswell busted a big fourth down, 64 yards. One out of every seven touches for him from scrimmage is a touchdown. You sure he's not 100%?
Wow. If you say that, I got to give him more touches, apparently. One out of seven, that's pretty impressive. And, obviously he pulled away on that one. I think it was a 64-yarder or whatever it was. And that was a gamble right there. There's a perfect example, fourth and one, and felt like confidence in our offense and then also confidence in our defense that if for some reason we didn't get that all of a sudden people weren't overreact. But I think that's the danger of what they did is they packed the box and you give him a crease, and similar to the week before, he was able to, you know, find that seam created by the offensive line and then hit it. And normally he pulls away maybe more than he did in that on that play, but he's not at 100%, but I joked around with him. I don't know what his percentage is, but it's his 60, 70, 80%, whatever you want to call it, is better than a lot of other people's 100% right now.
We saw Shaquille Matthews for limited action on the field. How did he feel, and what did he show you?
It was really good to have him out there, and he, to his credit, you know, he'd go back all the way, and it seems like a long time ago, but, you know, that first half injury to Alfred, and, you know, he stayed patient, he stayed positive, he's been there helping, you know, more as maybe an assistant coach on the sideline with the receivers. He's been quietly doing his rehab and recovery, and really he didn't really get any live reps until Thursday of that last week. And I say live, just truly crossover reps. So it was good to have him out there, and I think he almost even surprised himself a little bit, you know, coming through with an injury as a wide receiver that you got to feel good and comfortable at planting and cutting and all that. So it was good to see him out there, and I think hopefully that gave him some confidence that his role could continue to go forward. He's not at 100%, but again, who is at this point? But it's just really good to have him back there in a situation where right now, obviously the receivers, we need some guys that can step up, and it'll be good to see if he can be one of those guys.
Was some of that to show that to Union so that they'd see him on video and go, okay, we have to think about number four?
Absolutely not. It was more, I mean, honestly, at that point, we weren't thinking about Union. We were thinking about St. Lawrence, and we had another receiver, Chris Bartosik, who didn't play in that game. So as I told you, it's been a week-to-week kind of musical chairs of who's healthy, who's getting reps, and you know, we ended up having to move a couple guys for, you know, playing one receiver to play another receiver position. And yeah, in our offense, it's not as easy just jumping one to the other. There's some learning that goes into it. So having Shaquille back, who knows the offense automatically, mentally, now we've gained some experience. Even if he hasn't had playing experience this year, he mentally knows it. And even though if he's not 100%, he was able to still be a factor for us. I don't know if he was even targeted just in some of his reps, but hopefully he can continue to progress. And if we can get some of those other guys back, that might help us as we try to look for a strong finish to the season.
You mentioned Bartosik being out. Marcus Lenz returned punts, and he did something I thought we always used to talk about Sean Cunningham was very good at. It's not always the return yardage you get on the punt. It's the bounce and roll yardage you prevent. He made one really nice fair catch in traffic, and Cunningham was always very good at that, at keeping that ball from going that extra 10 or 15 yards down the field.
You hit the nail on the head. When we talk to our punt returners, we're an aggressive team that goes after blocks more often than not. I mean, it's just you don't find many punters that kick it far enough to be a great return team, what we find. So we're going to be an aggressive up front. But on the back end, it's can you save 2 to 3 first downs on rolls? And there was one earlier in the game, the guy, St. Lawrence punter, kicked it short, and it rolled, and it was 23 yards. That's 2.5 first downs that we got to come up with offensively, as we're really trying to look at managing the game, those hidden yards that come in special teams. So, you know, Marcus was one of the guys we highlighted on Sunday when we watched the video and talked about his role. Without a doubt, you know, other than that one that got away from him, he saved us on a couple others that could have resulted in some lost yardage. So I thought he did a really good job. And, you know, he's another one that's kind of on that fringe of really kind of taking off here at the receiver position as well. So it was good to see him both special teams and on the offensive side of the ball.
I know that you can't throw every pass down the middle, but we noticed during the game that David Crewson seems just like a different guy between the hash marks. I mean, he just puts some zip on the ball and he gets it there, and he was struggling a little more in the out patterns. Is that something you're going to take into account going forward? Or?
Well, it's interesting. It's gone week to week. You know, I think with the way that St. Lawrence was playing, different than RPI was playing all of that two high shell, you know, which was obviously gives you a little bit more to the perimeter. St. Lawrence was more in the one high, which kind of gives you more of the middle of the field open. So a lot of our middle field close. A lot of our routes are going to be based off of sight adjustments or defensive adjustments. So our receivers will adjust on some patterns or some of the things we're calling based on what we're seeing coverage-wise. You know, now we're going back and facing a Union team that's going to be more of a two high, sometimes rolling that safety down like our defense does. So I think it'll be more of a combination of both. I think it's interesting because he had some really good passes inside, but he also threw a couple of those high that sailed when we had guys open. So I think, you know, ultimately we have to be able to attack the entire field if we're going to play a really good defense and do that. Without a doubt, in the flow of the game, we as an offensive staff and play callers are going to try to figure out where is he feeling more confident, where are some of those openings, and then try to dictate some of the calls in those areas.
A tough break for them. They lost their starting quarterback, Tyler Groshot. Looked like a good, clean hit by Aguilar, and it's just that's part of the game. But it's always scary when you see a guy not move there right away, and I think he seemed okay on the sidelines, but obviously with a shot like that, he wasn't going to come back.
Yeah, it's nothing anyone wants to see. And again, our defense was playing hard, their offense was playing hard, and it was a bang-bang play. And, you know, Brian plays hard, and it was by no way a malicious hit or anything like that. And Tyler's a really, really good quarterback, so I reach out and feel hard for, you know, that he wasn't able to finish the game, and, you know, obviously wish him well and the entire family there. But then they were able to come back in with a young man who he had recruited here in the local areas who played really, really well. So, kudos to him, and obviously hoping Tyler will have a healthy recovery here.
So let's talk about Union. Let's start with the experience of playing in their place. I mean, they really go all out to make it a difficult place to play. They'll run on the field through your warm-up lines, and the fans are close. And how do you tune all that stuff out and stay focused on the job ahead?
It's an interesting task. It's something as a coach that, you know, we can handle, but sometimes for younger, you know, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, that's a little bit of a more of a challenge to do. But yeah, I think any good team has a home field advantage, and Union does, you know, just in terms of, you know, how you enter the field and just some operations throughout the game. But we've kind of talked to our guys about just trying to channel in and filter in the outside noise and just control our controllables. There's a lot of variables and factors that are, you know, people are going to say are disadvantages for us this week and why Union's going to be favored and whatnot. And, you know, and they've earned some of those statements, but try not to put our focus on things that we have no control over, because ultimately to do the get the outcome we want to get, it's going to focus on what we can control. And we'll try our best to eliminate some of those factors and distractions. But when it comes down to it, I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be determined on the field, not some of the other factors that kind of comes into sometimes when you play on the road.
Offensively, Union's done the same thing for a long time. They're going to pound you, try to bring everybody up closer to the line, and then take a deep shot down the field. How do you defend that?
Yeah, it starts up front, and they have a very, very good offensive line. A lot of those guys have had some significant playing time over the last couple of years where they've won a lot of games. You know, you throw in the tight end, and they have a really, really dynamic running back. Number one for them is a fantastic player. So even when you're in the right position, he has the ability to make guys miss, similar to our running back. So I think that the challenge is you go in, and, you know, they can hurt you in a lot of different phases. They have excellent speed and have the ability to hit some big plays out on the perimeter if you do try to commit to the run too much. You know, in 2018, when we beat them here at home, you know, they got on top of us with some big plays, but I thought we did a better job maybe slowing them down on the run. And then, you know, at their place in 2019, we really tried to commit hard on stopping the pass, and then the running back went off. So it's one of those you're going to have really opportune stops, you know, because I don't think you can focus on just one stopping the run or stopping the pass. But it's going to be a really good challenge for our defense. They seem excited for the challenge, knowing that they're going against, you know, arguably one of the top offenses that we're going to face this year.
And defensively, we're seeing a lot more of these 3-4 teams. And teams like this, it's a 3-4, but the three down linemen make a lot of tackles. They don't just funnel it to the linebackers. They're aggressive up on the line of scrimmage, and they're going to get right up in your face.
Yeah, their defensive front, I mean, their entire defense is well coached. This is going to be a really good challenge for our offense. But they have two or three of the best interior D linemen we're going to face. Not just strong, not just fast, good with their hands, they're quick. They disrupt plays. So even when it looks like on paper, all right, we got an angle to block them, they're gone pretty quickly. So we face some teams that have been bigger and thicker, and then we face some teams that are faster and quicker. These guys are going to be a combination of both. They have that strength, but they are really, really good at moving, and their block destruction is key. So and a handful of these guys have all played, so they have experience in their front seven. They're big, they're strong, they're fast. There's no doubt I think that's going to be if we're going to have success on our side of the ball, we're going to have to try to control the amount of – I mean, I think at one point I think they're coming into the game with like 58 or 59 tackles for losses, almost 20 sacks. They just wreak havoc, and what they do is they put you behind the sticks, you know, and they're really tough to beat a good defense that sits back. They're really good in the back end of not giving up the big play, and I know that they're going to be focused on not giving up the big play against us. So we're going to have to be able to sustain long drives, which that's been a staple of our offenses in the past. We haven't necessarily been able to do that as of late, but that's going to be the challenge for us this week, I think, is they're going to be focused on trying to prevent the big play while trying to disrupt and get us behind the chains, which a lot of defenses are going to try to do. And we're going to have to try to combat that and see if we can stay ahead. Can we win first down? Can we win second? Could be in workable third downs, because they can pin their ears back and come if you're sitting in third long.
You're number one in the league in rushing. They're number two. You're number one in rushing defense. They're number two. Is that, in a nutshell, does it come down to line of scrimmage and being able to run the ball, old-fashioned football?
Well, it's interesting. I as an offensive coordinator, and this is something that Coach Craig and I believed in a long time ago, I think if you're a good rushing offense, you're going to have a good rushing defense because you go against one another half the year. So it's not coincidental that both Hobart and Union are both committed to running the ball and then very good at stopping the run. I think in this game, there's no doubt, their line of scrimmage, an offensive defensive line, our line of scrimmage, that almost any good when two good teams go against one another, that's almost always going to be a significant factor. I also think there's going to be the opportunities for big plays. Both teams have talented athletes. Both are great up front. I think this is, comes down to a really, really good, great college football game, you know, and I think there's high level talent where there's going to be the ability to make big plays on both turning the ball over or creating those takeaways, and at the same time, converting on offense and hitting big plays for both teams. I think the team that can establish the line of scrimmage and then hopefully consistently can control it throughout the game while eliminating the big plays is going to put themselves in the best situation to win the game.
It's very easy for those of us who sit up in a little room above it all to say when guys are flying around and slamming into each other at full speed, but there are always opportunities in this game to commit personal fouls. Somebody takes a run at you, you retaliate, somebody woofs, you woof back. Is that something you address before the game about keeping your poise in that atmosphere that we talked about?
Absolutely. And I mean, we addressed it on Sunday. We've hit it every single day. Like our guys, it's a slippery slope. It's an emotional game. It's a fast and physical game. And you're right. Sitting here on a Thursday morning, it's easy to talk about. But when the emotions are going on Saturday, and it's not coaches that are making those decisions. It's 18, 19, 20-year-olds. And in the emotion of the game, we can talk about it. You can train it. And I think it comes down to that impulse moment of how do I respond in that moment. And it's a highly contested game. Like I told our guys, we've earned the opportunity for this to be a big game, and this game isn't any bigger than any others. It's the next big game. And I think that's why, if our program is going to consistently be a team that's fighting for championships, you're going to play in some big games. And I think sometimes in those moments, the emotions sometimes get better of young men. And I think it's going to come down to battling those emotions, because it's really going to come down to execution more than emotions. But, I think at the same time, you know, this goes back. This is a game that's been a rivalry for many, many years, and it's no different than others. Some of the teams we play in a highly contested game where both teams are passionate about trying to advance their team to win the championship and play in the playoffs. There's going to be moments where that last second shove or push, and do you have the mental toughness and resolve to say, you know what, I'm not going to push back? Because often what happens, they catch the second person, and you know, there's a lot of things that happen in piles and whatnot that the layperson might never know. And it's not an easy thing to do, but I think we've done a good job over the course of this year. And yes, I know people are pointing to the penalties, and there's some that are we 100% have to clean up. And then there's some of them that have been bang-bang plays because of how we play physically. And I think it's got to be one of those things where part of the success comes from our physical play, but the other part needs to come from our mental discipline in those moments to not retaliate, not have any type of 15-yard penalties, because that only is going to hurt our chances to be successful in that moment.
I know you're a coach and you focus on your team, but do you think RPI can give you some help against Ithaca?
It's interesting. I think the conference right now, there's four teams that all sitting right here this late in the season have a really good chance to win the conference. And you know, the thing we have to control is we have to go in, and it's a must-win at Union. And at the same time, Union sitting undefeated, Ithaca sitting undefeated. RPI's only lost to us, and they play both Ithaca and Union. So these next couple weeks are going to be really exciting for the Liberty League. I think, and I said this back early in the season, it was going to be really tough for anyone to go undefeated in our conference. And if someone does, kudos to them. That's a battle-tested team that will have a really good chance to have a good seed in the playoffs. But I also think it's interesting how these next couple weeks come out, because there might be two teams that have a chance. Obviously, we only get the one automatic qualifier, but there's a lot of things that can happen over the next couple weeks. And I think RPI is a strong team. I think Ithaca is a strong team. I think whoever shows up I think both of those teams have really good defenses. You know, is the weather going to play a factor? They're talking about that for Saturday. So there's a lot of things that we can't control. I haven't really thought too much about it. I know that we got a big challenge in front of us at Union, and I think our guys are going to be excited for that opportunity.
There have been some classic games in this series, and I would not be surprised if this were another one. Best of luck on Saturday.
Thank you, Ted.
This is our Hobart Football Podcast with the head coach of the Statesman. Join us again next week, and hopefully many weeks beyond into postseason. Subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts, and rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts. If you watch your Hobart news throughout the day, follow the Statesman on Twitter, at Hobart Football, on Instagram, also at Hobart Football. And, of course, your official website for HWS Athletics is hwsathletics.com. Thanks for listening, and have a great football day.